We are here, and obviously, we have an agenda. We believe in God. But I also understand that there may be some here tonight who are visiting with us, and you may not believe in God. Maybe you've just been curious to see what this creationist guy is going to do with modern science. And I hope that you've asked questions. Any questions that you have afterwards, I'm sure Brother Akin, within a reasonable amount of time, he'll need to get back for work tomorrow, but we'll be willing to try to answer any questions that you may have. We're just thankful that you're open-minded enough to come and listen and just examine another possibility. So with that, I'll turn the floor over to Brother Akin, and he can deal with whatever questions he has.
Herb gave me an article that we'll probably make copies of so that you all have an opportunity to see it, that just has occurred in the science section of The Economist this February. And it's from the Royal Academy, and it's a whole thing about this problem of getting life from non-life. So you may find that to be interesting. So I may leave that article with you guys so you can make copies for people, and I'll take it with me. I thought that was very nice of him to bring that. One of the things I'd like to deal with is, have I personally experienced being ostracized professionally in any way? Well, you know, if you start answering a question like that, it can begin to sound like sour grapes. Do I feel like people have been upset with me and treated me differently because of this belief? Yes, they have. When I was at the University of Louisville getting my master's, I went to the general evolutionary theory professor. And we were actually in a lab one day, and we were talking, and I asked him, and remember now, this was a guy that was a friend of mine and is still somebody that I respect dearly for his work, and even though we differed. Okay, I do not want you to think that this man was an enemy of mine. He didn't quite know what to do with me because I was starting my master's in biology, and I was questioning evolution, in general evolution particularly. And I said, well, why couldn't we just go back and look at the same evidence and interpret it from the standpoint of an abrupt creation and then changes that have taken place in these different groups since that time? That was where I was at that point. And he got really upset, and there were other graduate students around, and he basically said, if you take that position, you will not get your master's from this institution. Now, I guess most people would consider that to be discriminatory. It has driven a lot of young, bright people out of the field of biology. It's like it's become this test of fellowship. You're just not going to go into biology. And I've spoken on this subject all around the country, and I've had many young, bright Christians who wanted to go into biology, but for that very reason, things like that, they chose to go another direction. And so we've lost a lot of very bright minds, I think, to the biological, geological sciences because of it. Other things, you know, if the chair of your department tells you that you're an embarrassment to the department because of your beliefs, it would probably be considered to be discriminatory. I've chosen not to follow that. I've not ever done anything legally. You know, I've just chosen to try to live as a Christian and be friends with them and treat them the way I think Christ would want me to treat them. That's how I've approached it. Does that answer that question? How do you explain the presence of the appendix in humans? Is it a vestige? No, I don't believe it's a vestige. While we're not totally sure, most physicians that I know believe that it has something to do with the immune system. You have to remember that just because other organisms have something sort of at the same place in the digestive system that has bacteria in it, doesn't mean that ours should have bacteria in it to help us to digest rabbit food, for instance. You know, rabbits have it. It's called a blind cecum. It's filled up with bacteria that will break down the cellulose in the walls of those cells so that they can get more energy out of it. We can't do that. For us, it's roughage. But, I mean, we just can't do it. But just because something's in the same place is never, in the scientific community, has never meant that it had to have the same function. Just stop and think about the forelimbs that we talked about last night. Their whole argument is that they all have different functions, but they're all built out of the same bones. So you can't have it both ways. So no, I don't believe it's a vestigial organ. I don't believe it's left over from some ancestor. And of the 200 that we started with, we've now explained all but about three, and I just think it's because we don't know enough. It's possible for something to function in an embryo or in a fetus and not have a function in the adult. I mean, we have a hole through the ventricles of our heart that we use when we are in our mom and to keep blood from going to the lungs. But as soon as we take our first breath, that hole slams closed. You hope. If you don't, then you have a heart murmur and you may have to have something done to correct that. Most heart murmurs go away. I had a heart murmur, or my parents would probably say I had a heart scream. I talk way too much, so my heart probably did too. But, you know, that simply functions in the embryo, and the fact that something could function in the embryo, we're not anywhere close to thinking about it that way. Plus the fact nobody's trying to think about it that way. If you're a general evolutionist, you believe in vestigial organs, stuff left over from ancestors. I don't. You know, they used to think the tonsils and the adenoids were vestigial organs. They just take them out any chance that they had. They don't do that anymore because they know they have a function. Will identical twins have the same DNA? They will have identical DNA. That is correct. You know, they are as close to what we would call a clone as you can possibly get. Does the Human Genome Project have anything to do with this? No, not really. The Human Genome Project was started, and more money was put into the Human Genome Project than any research project ever funded. Ever. And what they wanted to do was to take the 23 pairs, the 23 different chromosomes that we have, 22 plus the sex chromosome, and map them and figure out where the proper word is actually allele. Gene is another one of those terribly misused words. Find out where the allele was for every characteristic that humans have. We used to think there were someplace between 50 and 100,000, and almost miraculously, it turns out there's only around 35 or 36,000 different genes in your body, and they run your body from the day you are conceived until the day you die. To me, that's a miracle. That just shows the creative genius of God. And one of the things that I've suggested over the years to my colleagues is that this DNA material has spacers, okay, like exons, and is it possible that at different stages of human development, of the individual, that these spacers are moved around so that maybe we actually have a total of 200,000 genes, but they're not all used at the same time? They now have shown that to be true in some plants, that the spacers actually move around. They use the same piece of DNA, and they just extend it. They make a different protein for a different function. I just think that is way beyond natural selection, okay? And to me, things like that speak of God more than they do of an accident in the universe. So the Human Genome Project doesn't have anything to do with it, but like any piece of scientific evidence, it's going to be a matter of how you interpret it. Last night it seemed as if you said that between evolution and creation, it is an equal amount of faith needed to decide between the two. Please explain further. Well, if you followed what I've said tonight, you know, if you look at the evidence, evidence doesn't support a theory. We are so accustomed to using that phrase. Well, does the evidence support your theory? What we do in science is we lay the evidence out on the table, and then we try to come up with a theory that will best explain all of it. That's really how science works. And if you choose to not start with the idea that there is a creator or that what is said in the Bible is true, then you're going to interpret that data differently. If you just set out to do a natural explanation, it's obviously going to be very different from somebody who allows God in as part of the system. So basically we create theories to try to explain the evidence. And it's true for both creationists and evolutionists that if you get a new piece of evidence, you may have to modify the theory. You know, it may not fit into what you originally said, and so you have to adjust your thinking. Science is very proud of that, but they don't realize we've done the same thing with the Bible for years. Just think about the example I gave tonight where the guy actually, was actually a scientist who was a creationist and a Bible believer who started a false concept out there that everybody believed. Species were immutable, but the Bible actually never says that. It actually does allow for special evolution to occur. So if he hadn't done that, or if Darwin had actually understood the difference between special and general evolution and chemical evolution, as I've explained it, I don't think we'd be having this issue today. You know, I really don't. The other part of this question had to do with the teaching of another person who speaks on this. And since I know him, but I don't know how he presents it, I don't particularly want to answer that part of the question. I don't think it's appropriate. I'm kind of restricting this to the stuff that I've actually covered. Not all creationists agree. There are lots of different kinds of creationists. There are young earth creationists. There are old earth creationists. There are people who believe in gap theory, day theory, et cetera, et cetera. I pointed that out early on now. Are there any other questions? These were the ones that were written. You guys have been great. We all have jobs to go to tomorrow. What else do we do? That's it. Thanks. God bless you.